Turning to Revelation chapter 3, your Bibles tonight. Let's read it, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray tonight that you would help us to hear what you have to say to the churches tonight from this passage of Scripture, what you have to say to this church, the warnings and the exhortation that are here. We want to hear these things. We want to consider them, because we want to stand faithfully for you in these days of great deceit, in these days of falling away. We need your help, and we need it very desperately. We ask you to continue to bless this church. We ask you to continue to bless this school. And we pray that you would undertake in the upcoming elections. We pray that you would stir up your people to go out and vote. We pray that you would give us wisdom to know who to vote for. This country needs to be turned around. And we pray that you might use this election to begin that process. We pray now that you would help us as we look into your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think for the last couple of weeks we have been looking at the church in Sardis. And our thoughts have centered around the Lord's rebuke of this church in verse 1, where he says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. I think these words, perhaps more than any other, describe the days that we find ourselves living in. They describe the condition of most churches today. And they describe the most pervasive and far-reaching problem in the lives of individuals in this hour. And that's the false profession. Tonight, we want to think about the words there in verse 4. Thou hast a few names in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. We want to think about the few in Sardis tonight. I take the few in Sardis to be in contrast to the majority that's described in verse 1. The majority has a name. The majority is not identified with the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. The majority has a name that they are living. The majority has their own life. They have their own plans. They have their own programs, their activities that they substitute for spirituality. The majority has a name that they are living and are dead. There's no sign of spiritual life. And I emphasize those words, spiritual life. Well, there's life, all right. There's plenty of activity. There's praise and worship. There's worldly music that appeals to the flesh. There's plays and dramas. But no preaching, or very little preaching. Very few Bibles. Plenty of activity, but no spiritual life. I was reading some remarks that were made to the Southern Baptist Convention. It was held in, I believe it was San Antonio, Texas in 2007. They were made by Pastor Rob Zinn. He's the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Highland, California. And what he told the Southern Baptist Convention is that they were going to have to change their methods if they were going to reach this generation. And specifically, what he was talking about was music. And he specifically sort of zeroed in on the grandparents who were in attendance. He said, quote, "How many of you love those grandkids enough that you'd be willing to change your music for them?" He said, "If we're going to win young people to Jesus in this culture, we're going to have to be willing to change our mindsets. Folks, what you did in the 40s and what you did in the 50s isn't going to win this culture to Jesus." That's Sardis. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Folks, we aren't going to win this culture to Christ. We aren't going to win this generation to Christ. This man, like so many, doesn't understand the word few. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Only a few of this generation, or any generation, come to know the Lord. And those that do are not going to be won by music. They're going to be won by the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 doesn't say that it pleased God by the foolishness of music to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the pattern that we see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The Lord preached to the multitudes. He taught the multitudes. But you will never find where he entertained the multitudes. The Lord Jesus didn't tell jokes for the first 5 to 10 minutes of his message to sort of lighten up the crowd and lighten up the mood. The disciples were not a 12-piece rock band that played contemporary Christian music for the praise and worship part of the service. Now you say that and people kind of chuckle. You didn't, but people outside this church probably would chuckle at a statement like that and think that it's rather a foolish argument. They say rock music hadn't even been invented yet. I'd like to remind you of something. Ecclesiastes 1:9. "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, and let's read beginning at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, you understand, because you've come to this church over the course of many years, many of you have, and you've been taught by Pastor Kelly. And you understand that we're looking in these verses far beyond the king of Tyrus. We're looking and reading about Lucifer, son of the morning. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. Now notice these next words. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. I want you to think about those words. They teach us a couple of things. They teach us first and foremost that God is the creator of music. He created the notes and the scales and the sharps and the flats and the rests and the crescendos and all of those things that I really don't know anything about other than the words. He created the first instruments on which music was played. He created the tabrets and the pipes that we read about here. And I suggest to you that he wrote the very first song. The song of creation that we read about in Job 38 and verse 7, when the morning stars sang together. Now, what we understand here in this verse, this 13th verse, is that Lucifer, son of the morning, was created to make music in heaven. But let's keep reading. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Look at verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Lucifer was full of wisdom, as we see in verse 12. Verse 13 suggests to us that Lucifer was full of music, the music of heaven. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. That's what verse 14 tells us. Now, that's a tremendously important statement there. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And to get the full impact of that statement, I'd like for you to keep your place here and turn back to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25... Lord is giving Moses instructions for the tabernacle. And beginning in verse 10, he gives the instructions for the ark. And in verse 17, the Lord gives Moses the instructions for the mercy seat. That's where we want to read. Exodus 25 and verse 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Here in verse 20, we're reading about the mercy seat. We're reading about these 2 cherubims that covered the mercy seat. Now, look at verse 40 of this chapter. God says to Moses, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. God tells Moses that he's to make these things, the ark and the mercy seat and the covering cherubims and the table for the showbread and the golden candlestick, after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, Paul tells us something very interesting in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. We won't turn there. But he tells us that these things in the tabernacle served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. The pattern then that Moses was shown, the pattern that he was to follow, was of the ark and the mercy seat, and the covering cherubims, and the table, and the golden candlestick that are in heaven. That's the pattern. In heaven, then, the mercy seat, that was the pattern for this mercy seat, has these 2 covering cherubims. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 28. And notice again, verse 14. God says of Lucifer, son of the morning, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Lucifer, son of the morning, was one of these cherubs that covered the mercy seat of God. And he was created and he was placed there in this place of honor to fill heaven with his music. And he was there in that position, God tells us here, till iniquity was found in him. Notice again, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. On the day that iniquity was found in Lucifer, the son of the morning, on the day that he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. On that day, iniquity was found in Lucifer. On that day, Lucifer's wisdom was corrupted. We read there in verse 12 that he was full of wisdom. But now that wisdom has been corrupted. And may I say that on that day, that corrupted wisdom that is earthly and sensual and devilish became the basis of man's educational system. And I would suggest to you that on this same day, that the music that Lucifer was full of was also corrupted by him. Right here is where music gets divided. Right here. Right here on this day, music is divided into the worldly and the spiritual. Right here. We're right here in the beginning. Music is divided into that which honors God and that which honors Satan. Music is divided on this day into psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those things that honor the Lord. And contemporary music that appeals to and empowers the flesh. You want to read about contemporary Christian music in a praise and worship service? It's here in the book. Turn over a few pages to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold, and it's a replica of the image in his dream. And you remember what the image in his dream pictured. It pictured the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world down to the very time when the Lord Jesus Christ would come to set up his kingdom. Now I want to ask you a question. To whom do the kingdoms of this world belong in this hour? Luke chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us about one aspect, one part of the temptation of the Lord Jesus. And we read in Luke 4 and verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. I think that suggests something to us about the image of Nebuchadnezzar. I believe it was none other than an image of the God of this world. Now, look at verse 4. There's been a decree that's gone out to all of the governors and the captains and the treasurers and the judges and to all of the rulers of the provinces that they're to come and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so they came, the princes and the counselors and the governors and all of these officials. And they came and they stood before the image. Verse 4 says, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. You're going to have to bow down to the image. And what's going to be your cue? What's going to be the signal that the praise and worship hour has started? Verse 5, it's the music. That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Here's a praise and worship service. Complete, I believe, with contemporary music. All kinds of music, that verse says. And the music that was played here, the praise and worship that was taking place was not of the Lord Jesus Christ. The praise and worship was of the God of this world. And may I say to you tonight that the contemporary Christian music of our day, the contemporary praise and worship services of our day, are doing exactly the same thing. They're promoting the worship of the God of this world. And here's where we learn something about the few in Sardis. In this passage, we learn something about the magnitude of those words. Thou hast a few names in Sardis. Everybody here went along with the contemporary music. Everybody here went along with this all kinds of music. Everybody here went along with the praise and worship service. Everybody but three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three is a few, folks. That's what it means to be a few. In the face of everybody. I told you a few weeks ago about the music that was played in Jack Hudson's church. Unbelievable that kind of music would be tolerated there. He wouldn't have tolerated it. This is sweeping this country. And I wonder if we're willing to continue to be a few. One of the few. Because as the group gets smaller, the pressure gets greater. The trend in this country is the same as it was in Babylon. The majority hears the contemporary music and bows down. It's the way to go. That's what this man said. That's what this man said, this pastor said at the Southern Baptist Convention. Are you willing to change your music to reach your grandchildren? What you did in the 40s and the 50s is not going to work now. And I tell you what he was implying. You aren't going to win this generation with Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You aren't going to win this generation. You aren't going to have an impact on this generation with the music that we sing in this book. You're going to have to win them, in his view, with the modern contemporary music. The music that is lively. The music that has a beat. The music that has a name that it lives. But it's dead spiritually. Now, I've said all this to say, don't tell me that there wasn't contemporary Christian music in the Lord's day. If it started back with Lucifer, son of the morning, then it was there in his day. What would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? He didn't have contemporary Christian music. He didn't have the music of his day that would bring dishonor, that was in opposition to the message that he was preaching. He didn't use it, and neither should we. Never. We're studying these churches because we're looking for signs of turning. Remember, I keep having to remind myself that we're studying these churches because of Paul's words that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. One of the signs of turning in Sardis was having a name that thou livest and art dead. And one of the signs of having a name that thou livest and art dead is found in the music. God has kept the music right in this church. He's kept it right. But I wonder if we'll be willing in the future for him to continue to do that. I wonder if we'll be willing in the future to be a few over this issue. to get down to a few over this issue. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Tremendous words. But I'll tell you what are equally tremendous words. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Those are very encouraging words to me. Thou hast a few names. I like the fact that the Spirit of God put that word names in there. Thou hast a few names. The Lord knew them. He knew them by name. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. May the Lord help us tonight to be that few. To be a few names in this world today that have not gone along with the trends of our time. That aren't turning toward having a name that we live and are dead. To not turn in, to not give in to the idea that activity equals spirituality. Tremendous church to think about, the church at Sardis. Let's close in word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the message of the church at Sardis. It describes our day perfectly. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. We thank you that all through your word you have a remnant. A remnant. A few. Noah and his family. Abraham and his 318 servants. Gideon and his 300. Men like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Thou hast a few names all through this book that have stood for you, that haven't defiled their garments, haven't turned away from the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We thank you for their example. And we pray that we might be among them here in these days. We do thank you so much for this church. We thank you for Pastor Kelly. We think of him so often for his faithfulness. We thank you for Pastor Carr. We thank you for his faithfulness, for his wisdom. These men that you've given us as examples. And we pray that you would continue to use this church and bless it until you come. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.